Introduce yourself, please.
I'm John Wilson. I represent the 10th House District, which is basically Lawrence and Baldwin City.
Sounds like John is on the phone. We'll explain that right after the open. This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff. We're using coffee and donuts to help us better understand the historic legislative session underway in Topeka. The issues and the people in the Kansas legislature. Here we go. As we record State House Blend here in the KCUR production studio, the Kansas legislature still not done with its work. John Wilson is joining us from, are you on the House floor or in your office, John?
I'm in my office in the basement of the State House.
Well, you are a freshman.
The garden level.
before we get into the issues, I'm just going to assume that you're sitting here in the studio with us, and I'm going to ask you my two favorite questions, and that is, tell me about your kids and your pets, and tell me how you ended up in the State House basement.
Holy cow! Yes. So, starting with the important things, my son Parker will be 3 years old in July, and I just love him to death. My wife, Jamie, and I live in a tiny bungalow in Lawrence, and we spend any time that I'm not here hanging out with him and doing yard work with him and playing in the garden and all those things. And our family is rounded out by our dog, Sadie, who will turn 16 this August.
Sadie's hanging tough.
She's hanging tough, just like us here in the legislature. And I ended up in the basement of the State House. You know, I got to say, it's actually a great office. If your listeners haven't been to the State House in a while, they should certainly come by. We're here today. Beautiful renovations, and I've had this office since I was first elected to my first term, which was January of 2013.
John, just because you're not in the studio, let me introduce who else is with us today. Kate Miner from Merriam, who has been with us before, a teacher at Shawnee Mission North. Thanks for being here. And my KCUR colleague, Maria Carter, join us in the studio today, enjoying, by the way, coffee and donuts. And I just want to commit to you, Representative Wilson, that we will have you back so you can indulge in the coffee and donuts. You know, this I don't want to get too specific as to what's going on today, because it feels like it's changing hourly. But I do want to ask you, John, to begin. What is sort of the feeling there? Is there a feeling among your colleagues of frustration, of anger, of disappointing everybody's constituents? How would you characterize that?
You know, I think there is a sense of frustration around the Capitol, not just from lawmakers, but I think even from lobbyists or anybody who makes their living around this building. We've been here too long. And there's a line, I think it was in one of the newer Batman movies, about what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object, and I kind of feel like that's where we are right now. The legislature we have isn't really comprised of a lot of reasonable, kind of moderate-thinking policymakers. A lot of those folks were wiped out back in 2010, and or 2012, too. And so what we have right now is this kind of interesting grouping of people who don't think we're cutting the budget enough, and those same people also don't want to find any way to make any further cuts because they're really politically uncomfortable cuts, and yet they also don't want to raise revenue. And if they do want to raise revenue, meaning taxes, then they'd like it to be on a specific group of people or businesses and not some others.
Before I take a trip around the table, I just want to follow up on that very quickly, John, and ask you, are you in a camp that that is more moderate? Are you willing to increase taxes and look at ways to cut the budget?
I've always been one that I think is a fairly moderate thinker, and I am interested in a tax plan in particular that is responsible and it's equitable, and most importantly, it's sustainable. And what's been floated around since the beginning of this session are tax plans that don't take every option into consideration. We've heard a lot about the 2012 tax plan that the governor pushed through, and that tax plan included two signature pieces. One was eliminating income taxes on most businesses, and the other was collapsing the number of personal income tax brackets from 3 to 2. interestingly enough, it wasn't the exempting businesses from paying income taxes that was a huge big ticket item. It was the other changes. And unfortunately, we're not seeing the Republican leadership really want to address the big ticket items. And so they are very interested in pursuing what they're calling consumption taxes, and opposed to what they're calling a tax on productivity, which we've historically called an income tax, which was part of a broad-based way of funding state government.
I just want to say that here on State House Blend, we refer to consumption taxes as sales taxes. Let's go around the table. Kate Miner, what is it that you want to say to John Wilson?
Well, I want to commend you for hanging in there, but at the same time, I've been watching the legislature for a few years now, and, you know, cuts to the budget do affect my job as a teacher, and they affect my kids, and they affect my family in ways that we see and sometimes don't see. So my question is, I guess, what can happen? I mean, what can we do? What can constituents like me who do follow and do call and do, you know, we write and we post on social media. What else can we be doing to help this situation?
Yeah, Kate, I really appreciate your question. And I, first of all, recognize the frustration you share. And I want to apologize on behalf of the legislature for any effect that we've had on your family or your friends or your career. I want to tell you that I respect you as a teacher and all that you do day in and day out in the classroom for students. And so you mentioned a few things that I would tell anybody to do, which is, first and foremost, be engaged in terms of understanding how the process works here in Topeka. The other part, obviously, I think you know this, register to vote and vote in every election, municipal and state elections. Beyond that, I think writing lawmakers from your district obviously is very important. But I think the next step is making an expectation with your representative and your senator that you expect them to have regular conversations with people who have different ideas than them. That includes in the Capitol, but it includes when they're back in their districts. Unfortunately, I think there are too many lawmakers up here who position themselves in an echo chamber, both from the news sources that they're consuming as well as the people they choose to go talk to back in their districts. Because I'm not convinced that a lot of people around Kansas are getting the full story. I know when I go back to talk to folks in Lawrence and Baldwin City, I lay it out there of the realities of our lack of revenue, the realities of what got us to this point, the areas I'm willing to kind of compromise on, and so I think having an expectation with your representatives and senators that they need to understand the nuances of policy, and they need to talk to people who are different from them and think differently than them.
Maria, everybody hears you in the morning, and you've been following the Kansas legislature. It feels to me, and I want to hear, I want to get your thoughts on this. It feels to me that since January, nothing has moved. Nothing has changed, and I'm wondering if you feel that way, and how John should respond to that.
Well, I mean, I think it definitely has a feeling of not a lot happening. At the same time, I think the past week or so, you see small bills coming out, and then it's like, well, what about the big problem at hand? Why work on these little things when, you know, you have this $400 million budget hole that you're still trying to fill? That's the real issue. I mean, that's what affects teachers. That's what affects, you know, anyone that lives in the state of Kansas or, you know, pays taxes here or there. I think the part that always sometimes frustrates me as a news person is it's hard to... Right now, it seems like there's a different tax plan each day, you know, with nuances. And, you know, it's so turn of the screw in a way, you know, where it's just like little variations of the same big story. How do you make that interesting and keep people up to date? And I think that maybe goes to some of the points that John was speaking about earlier with, you know, getting citizens involved. Like, this is a complicated story. This is... you know, I think it's hard to stay well informed on this story without, you know, reading five news articles a day.
And staying, I think it's difficult, John, because as Maria said, especially over the last few days, it's changing hourly. So, I guess my question is, as in this 11th hour, which is turning into a 12th hour and a 13th hour. Are you hearing from your constituents? Are people communicating to you as these plans get passed around?
I'm receiving several emails in the form of kind of form letters with concerns, obviously around the furloughing of state employees. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I try to be proactive in reaching out to my constituents, and I let them know kind of where I stand and why I haven't supported the budget or the tax plans to date. And I'm hearing back from them that they're not in favor of increasing sales taxes to the extent that are being proposed. So I still think there is a disconnect between between the general public and what's happening in the state house. And unfortunately, I feel like there are lawmakers that think because they put it out on Twitter, the whole world knows about it. But I think we all know that very few people follow hashtag KFLedge, right. Because they're living their lives and they've got real problems that they're dealing with, and they can't be as engaged as people who are in the media or lobbyists in the state house. But there certainly is an increased amount of activity in my inbox because of the chance of furloughs, because of new taxes that are being proposed, and even as late as last night, some of the components of this latest tax plan being brought forward.
Yeah. Well, and it seems to me like furloughs have really like put a fine point on this for people, that, you know, that it's one thing to talk about a budget hole, a budget gap, when it starts actually, especially in Lawrence, I'm sure, hitting the whole community, hitting, you know, if it's not you, it's your neighbor. To me, that seems like... when I've started hearing people actually talking about this more is because of that issue.
Right.
I mean, are is this a tactic? Just wait until, I mean, I think we've seen this happen in the U.S. Congress sometimes where it gets to that point and that's what it takes to take action on it. Is that what's happening here until people start getting out of work, that there's, that legislators maybe don't have that incentive to really get down and work on that tax plan or work on that budget?
You know, I'm torn on my response to that because, honestly, I believe, and I've seen legislators, I believe there are legislators up here who do want to shrink the size of government, and so they've actively been doing that by cutting the budget, passing budgets that don't allow people to fill open spots, in various agencies. And so I think there are plenty of people that think that we've got to keep cutting further. And there are people that have been using the potential of furlough as kind of a bargaining chip when trying to get people to the table on a tax plan or on the budget. You know, the thing is, we've had a budget in our conference committee ready to go since before our April recess. And as we've noted, today is day 107, tied with the record number of days that we've spent up here. So we've had the budget ready to go a long time, and we've known for a long time that we have a revenue shortfall. And we could have been spending the entire previous 106 days focusing on that. As we talked about earlier, we've been dealing with what I would say is the appetizer and delaying the main course until now when bad decisions get made and then bad policy gets made because people are staying up late or they're frantically trying to throw things into a package to pick up a few votes.
Mm-hmm. Kate, I want to talk to you a little, ask you about this communication issue, but I do want to make clear that as we sit here on Saturday morning, it appears at this point that the furlough crisis may be behind us. The House has passed a bill naming all Kansas State employees as essential. So if nothing else, that must make them feel better. We don't know what the Senate is going to do, but it does appear that that the furlough crisis has passed, although we're not sure just yet. Kate, I want to ask you, and both, I think, from a news perspective, and sort of you're like a one-person focus group here, so there's a lot of pressure on you.
Okay.
And also from John's perspective, how is it that as you get into these waning hours, how do you think that you're being communicated with by both the news media and maybe by your own by elected officials? Do you feel like you're able to consume meaningful information?
I make a point to consume it. I don't. I don't sit on my hands and wait for it to come to me. I follow on Twitter the hashtag KSLedge and KSEd all the time. You know, I mean, that's something that I make a point to do because I want to hear from those people who are reporting hourly, minute by minute, daily. I want to hear from them. I want to hear what's going on. And I don't want to rely on the typical news media, the television,
I hear you.
You know. but I don't want to wait for it to come out filtered.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or so filtered that it's watered down that a 3-year-old could understand. I'm an educator, so I'm constantly learning, and that's my job. And I feel it's really important in my line of work, but also as a responsible citizen of Kansas to go out there and find out that information. Mm-hmm. So do I think that the news media is doing a good job? I don't know. Because
think it would be helpful? And John, I don't know how practical this is, but if you were to get email updates more frequently, you know, 2 or 3 times a day from your state representative or state senator, would you find that helpful?
I would find that helpful. My state representative also does report on social media and through email some. But it's not, you know, hourly. It's not daily. It's not, you know, it's
2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah. It's not anything that, you know, I don't already know because I've been following.
Right. Right. John, do you think there's a way that you could better communicate with your constituents? And do you even think, as you're grinding it out, as votes are picked off one by one, is it even practical to try to communicate with your constituents more regularly or more frequently?
Well, I think certainly in this kind of overtime period, as you have already stated, things change hour by hour. And so those more frequent updates are probably necessary. The frequency of updates earlier in the session may just be unwarranted. But I'll tell you, one of the things that I struggle with is that there are very few people that can come onto the House floor, push the button and vote, push the button to debate, walk across the aisle to have conversations with people. And so when I'm here and present in the State House, whether it's on the floor or in a committee meeting, I'm not live tweeting to the extent that some folks are, and I'll tell you, I'm okay with that because I need to be present. I need to see when rules aren't being followed or understand the subtleties of a particular amendment and then have some conversations with folks in my caucus or the other caucus. And so I think the folks, the chorus of people around the State House, news media, bloggers, activists, others play a really important role in kind of live updating the public. And so what I try to do is help people understand all the ways they can engage with our work, from listening live through the kslegislature.org website or by following the hashtags KSED or KSLedge or by subscribing to my email, which is going to be less frequent than they're going to see in Twitter. But I just think it's really important for me to be kind of present and in the moment.
John, I want to ask you if we are heading into an era where this kind of session is going to be the norm as opposed to the outlier. But while you think about that, I want to take one more trip around the table, get some final thoughts from starting with Kate and then Maria. Kate, final thought, final question, final marching order for Representative Wilson as we try to wrap up this session.
I guess as a teacher, as a mother, as a constituent, I'm not from Lawrence, but I do want to make sure that we don't. I guess, like you said earlier, you know, when you're in the trenches. And you're trying to pay attention to everything that's going on, whether rules are being followed. And I saw last night that, you know, the school voucher or scholarship bill was shoved in there. And, you know, that concerns me. So I just want our legislators to be hyper aware of the possible outcomes of their decisions when it comes to funding schools, funding public services, and not to forget the everyman out there, that when we talk about consumption taxes or sales taxes, it affects every single person and not in a good way.
Before we get to Maria, John, I just want to I just need to follow up with this. I mean, do you feel, even though that you may politically disagree with those on the other side of the aisle, do you feel that they are people of good faith, that they are people who truly believe what they're saying, and this is how they feel the state should move forward, and that we should respect their opinions, or are we looking at political expediency?
Boy, Sam, that's a tough question. I think that the bulk of the people up here, both in the House and the Senate, and in the governor's office, believe that they're doing the right thing, and any difference I have with people in this building is going to be over policy for the most part. Are there people whose personality absolutely rub me the wrong way? Of course. That's how it's going to be in any workplace. But what we're seeing is a policy difference of how you fix the problem that we have right now. And I would also add, though, that the problem we have right now is not one that's caused by a global recession or other forces. This was created by poor policymaking back in 2012. And unfortunately, it seems as if we are trying to repeat that this year. But I think there are people up here who are trying to do the right thing. And in fact, I think I want to emphasize that I'm a Democrat, and some of my favorite people in the building, some of my favorite people to work with, are Republicans. And I think that's the way it should be, I don't care where the idea comes from. If it's a good idea and it's based on good logic, and it helps the most amount of people, then let's move forward with it.
Maria, your final thought, or you have a final question?
I have a final question because it's something I always wonder about. You're fairly new at the job there since 2013, but how is it different than what you thought it would be like?
Yeah, that's a great question. I thought when I came in, because in my day job I work for a nonprofit. If you're smart and articulate and creative and you work hard and you're solutions focused, then you're rewarded. And I thought, well, you bring that same thing to the State House, same thing's going to happen. But unfortunately, if you don't play for the right team, or I think in this case, if you don't play for the right faction of the right team, then sometimes that doesn't matter. And in often cases, it doesn't matter. And so that's been the biggest challenge for me is, you know, you bring a good argument, you bring good facts, you have solid examples of successes in other states around a particular policy idea, and it doesn't go anywhere. You can use compelling emotional stories, you can use good facts and figures, you can have great visuals and a solid presentation, and sometimes that doesn't matter if the powers that be don't like it.
That sounds pretty frustrating.
It's incredibly frustrating, and And Sam, I don't know if we're circling back around to your original question, but is this the new norm, a 107-day session with gridlock? I would say I don't think it is the new norm. I think we are reaching a threshold where people are fed up with ideologues. And
when you say people, John, excuse me for interrupting, but when you say people, sure. Are you talking about your colleagues or are you talking about the voters of the state of Kansas?
I'm going to say all of the above. I think voters are seeing this thanks to, I think, some good reporting happening from the State House. Honestly, I think lobbyists and other advocates up here are seeing that when people are not solutions focused and they are kind of irrational in their decision making, then no good can come of it for anybody. So I think lobbyists are paying attention, and that's important because they fund campaigns. And then I think other lawmakers are realizing that really good ideas like expanding Medicaid or not having block funding for education or keeping our renewable portfolio standard are not happening because there's not enough reasonable people, Democrat or Republican, up here. We need more. I don't care what party it is. And so we wouldn't be in day 107 if there wasn't collaboration happening, quite honestly, between moderate Republicans and Democrats. As you all know, that there are supermajorities in the House and the Senate, and the governor, obviously, is a Republican. And so despite that, we are still here. That's because there's so much there's so much partisanship, particularly among, I think, the far right.
John Wilson, thank you for keeping the flame of good government going. Kate Miner, thank you for being here. My colleague, Maria Carter, thank you. Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Find us at kcur.org/statehouseblend. And our friends over there at UpToDate let us visit every Tuesday at 11 a.m. John, to get to know you just a little bit better, we are going to close this podcast with your favorite song. What is it?
My favorite song is End of the Line by the Traveling Wilburys.
And thus it shall be. I'm Sam Zeff. We'll see you next time.
Well, it's all